For years, I was so fed up with shampoo, I just stopped washing my hair. I quit completely. I was so sick of poofy, frizzy, limp hair, distorting my natural oils. Until a few months ago, I found Modern Mammals, and it changed everything. And by the way, right now you can visit modernmammals.com and use code LSS for 10% off. So check that out. So look, I heard about this through the podcast, and before I agreed to advertise, they sent it to me, and I was reluctant. But let me tell you, I should not have been. This stuff is absolutely magical. My hair felt better, smelled way better, and most importantly, looked better. And I know it will do the same for you as well. It doesn't have those hair-ruining chemicals like other products, and it doesn't leave any leftover residues. It works. Don't believe me? Go read their awesome reviews online as well. Go to modernmammals.com and use code LSS for 10% off. Again, that's modernmammals.com for 10% off with promo code LSS. Don't forget to use our promo code LSS so they know we sent you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
To the show, I'm Shane Told, and this podcast is called Lead Singer Syndrome, where I take you to the backstage conversations that I have with other front men and front women of bands, and we got a great one today. Kat Moss of Scowl is here, a newer band. Maybe if you've been living under a rock for the last couple years, you haven't heard of them yet. But they are taking the world by storm. Their new EP, Psychic Dance Routine, is just an amazing follow-up to their full-length record that came out now 2 years ago. Everyone is talking about this band. They're playing festivals like Coachella and Reading and Leeds. They're also doing Furnace Fest later this year, and they've even opened up for Limp Bizkit. Stick to Your Guns, Touche Amore, and more. It's just awesome. An awesome, awesome success story. And Kat gets into all of it with me, and it is just inspiring and amazing. And I just love this episode so much. So sit back and enjoy it. This one is it's like a feel good story. And I just love to hear that. So yes, I'm very, very excited for you to hear my conversation with Kat. Before we get into that, a couple of orders of business. Again, you want to hit that subscribe or follow button, whatever you're listening to this on, because that helps me out. I do appreciate that. And if you want to get in touch with me, you can via email, if you're still using that old thing, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. I read all my emails. So does my producer, Kevin. Yeah, I try to get back to people as much as I can too, but I do appreciate the feedback, good or bad. And if you have any suggestions for future episodes, guests, please hit me up, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. And if you want to support, check out the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club for a few bucks a month. That gets you in, and that keeps this thing coming at you week after week. It is what is the URL? I know it. leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. That's it. Hit that up. Also, if you are going to be in Las Vegas, or if you're a local of Las Vegas, come hang out with me at the Punk Rock Museum. August 4th, 5th, and 6th, I will be doing tours, showing people around the museum, which is so rad, by the way. This place, they've done an amazing job of putting together some incredible artifacts from all the different decades of punk, including, like, you can play fucking Tim Armstrong's guitar through his amp. Like, shit like that, that just no other museums are doing. It is incredibly rad, and I'm so honored to be a part of it, doing tours. So yes, August 4th, 5th, and 6th, I'll be there doing two tours a day, and you can get your tickets over at thepunkrockmuseum.com. And yeah, come hang out. I'll be, you know, showing everybody around and telling some stories and hanging out. And I'm really excited about it. Once again, thepunkrockmuseum.com, Las Vegas, August 4th, 5th, and 6th. All right. Well, let's get into this episode. Here it is. My conversation with Kat from Scowl. Hey, Kat, how's it going?
Hi, good. How are you?
Oh, fantastic.
Hell yeah.
Thank you for doing this. I know, well, my producer double booked me, and
oh, no.
You were so accommodating to switch the times.
Oh, of course.
At the last minute. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. It's not a problem. You got me at a good time. I'm home right now, so I've a bit more free time than usual, so it works out.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, shit, you've been so busy. This band, your band's been, it's just been like blown up. It's been absolutely crazy. I want to get all into that stuff.
Yeah.
So right now you live in California, Santa Cruz?
Yes. Santa Cruz, California.
Nice. That's like the place that they say is like super weird or whatever, right? It's like, keep Santa Cruz weird, or they always say that.
It's a little bit like that. It's a weird place for sure. Definitely like holds up to that expectation. Yeah. But I can't really quite explain it. I'm not a native to Santa Cruz. I'm originally from Sacramento, California. So mm-hmm. I've lived here the last 5 years, and I can definitely say like it's quirky.
Quirky. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It sure does have its quirks.
Yeah, absolutely. So what led you there? If you grew up in Sacramento,
yeah.
Was it the band? Did you start the band and move out there, or was it other things?
It was pre-Scowl. So I ended up moving to Santa Cruz about 5 years ago because I just wanted to go be around like other like-minded young people, pretty much. That's such a generic answer. I'm so sorry. But
it works.
I was really interested in I was going to shows, but I was traveling to go to shows. And like, you know, I would drive myself like 2 or 3 hours, go to a show in San Francisco or the Bay and
right.
come back home late. Open up at my job the next morning, things like that. And all my friends lived far away. So either were at college or just lived kind of at least like an hour away. And I felt like I needed to be around people and artists pretty much and kind of follow the things I was interested in. I wasn't going to school, but I was, yeah, I wanted to go be around people who liked the same stuff as me pretty much and make more friends and, sounds so simple, but I was in like a small town a little bit. So, mm-hmm.
Well, it kind of worked out though, didn't it?
I mean, yeah,
that was like,
absolutely.
It was like the plan and then you did it and then mm-hmm. the band started and now here you are. Like it's kind of
yeah.
feels kind of like maybe things are kind of working out, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would have never expected even to like get to the point of starting a band. Like I wanted to do that, but I didn't think that would be like a realistic possibility for me, considering I'm not a musician, like, or I wasn't a musician. I didn't grow up, you know, playing music, singing, like,
yeah.
But the cool thing about like hardcore and punk, that I learned was you don't have to do that. You know, you don't have to have like a traditional experience, you know, learning music. You can just kind of hop in and do it. And when you realize that about like your heroes, like looking at bands like The Germs or something, you're like, oh,
right,
they can do it. I can do it. We're good. You know?
Totally. No, totally. It's a great point, you know? And I think it's, maybe that's a great place to jump in, you know, because
yeah,
you've had so much success already, you know, with one full length album out.
Thank you.
That really took kind of it took the hardcore world by storm. And now this EP, it seems like everybody's paying attention.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting endorsements from Hayley Williams and Post Malone, and you're going on tour with Limp Bizkit, like stuff quite outside hardcore.
Absolutely.
And then it's like, you're like, oh, well, I don't know. I started this band and you literally said, I'm not a musician, which is insane to say, but you know, I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
And it's like,
I only recently started calling myself a musician because I guess I was like, oh wait, like I can say that now. Yeah. Like I do this. This is something I do.
Right. When you apply for a credit card or something, yeah, and they ask and you're like, well, I don't know. I yell into a microphone. Is that a musician? I don't know. Whatever that is.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly.
No, but I mean, all this has happened so quickly and it's like, you know, next thing you know, you're on stage at fucking Coachella, you know, that, like,
yeah,
insane. I mean, how does that feel for you? I mean, there must be a certain level of imposter syndrome that creeps in.
Yeah.
No matter how good you are and how much people love your band, you must still feel that. Just, I think anybody would.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm not crazy for being like, what the absolute fuck? I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah, you can say it.
Cool.
All.
Cool. I just, yeah, I think anyone who was in my shoes would feel the same way, would be just as like shocked or confused or experiencing like full on, yeah, imposter syndrome. And I'm trying really hard to just stay in the moment, like focus on the things that are important for me as a person and as like a, I don't know, like a healthy human being versus right, as like cat, if that makes sense. I don't know. I try not to like, I don't want to get too wrapped up in my identity, if that makes sense. Obviously being a young adult, I think, there's a level of like identity crisis that just happens to anyone. And you start doing something that you really love and it feels bigger than you. It's kind of scary. There's a lot of fear there for sure.
Well, totally. Because you can't control that.
No.
Right. You can't really control your band blowing up and how it blows up and who is paying attention and all that. Right. And it's like, you want to ride the wave.
Absolutely.
And of course you've got all the other people in your band. Everyone has opinions.
Yeah.
And it's their lives too.
Absolutely.
So it's like, you have to navigate all this stuff. But I think of, you know, the like probably most classic unfortunate example is Nirvana.
Oh my God.
You know, I mean, look what happened to Nirvana blowing up. Just, I mean, they were on a major label. It was maybe a little bit different.
Yeah, absolutely.
But still nobody saw that coming. And Kurt Cobain couldn't handle it either, right? And didn't want it to happen that
yeah,
way, right? So this can be a lot more than just like, oh shit, here we are on stage. This is fun. Like,
yeah,
this is your life.
Yeah. I think something that's really wonderful and like the beauty about like where we're at with, I guess, tying it all together is like where we're at with mental health and where we're at with like respecting artists and musicians are part of that, you know, is so much better than like what was going on at the time of like, you know, in the 90s, like mm-hmm, early 90s Nirvana. Like there's a lot more resources where people can like find help. And I think that's really wonderful because like, I know a lot of people and myself included who like would absolutely be so much on the deeper end of things if we didn't have those resources. And I think like, luckily, also I feel like the way that music happens now is so much different than how it was in the early 90s as well. Like with, you know, bands like Scowl, for example, a band like that, like getting attention, it's relatively probably a lot easier than how it all was happening to bands, you know, in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
There's a level of like privacy that is there in a lot of ways. And yeah, it's I mean, but on the flip side,
I agreed with you. And then I was like, maybe not.
People do like take videos of you and pictures of you at all the time. Like everyone's got a high tech camera on their phone pretty much. And so there's like a give and take there for sure.
Yeah.
There's definitely that.
Totally. You're right though. I think like in the 90s, it was like for a band to get noticed.
Yeah.
Everything was like, let's just call it analog, you know? Cause it was like, oh, you have to get a magazine article or like you have to get played on the radio or someone has to ship a CD or make a mixtape or whatever.
Absolutely.
That had to happen. And there's like steps to get there. But now it's like, you could literally like you and I could start a band and post it on the internet and like the right algorithms hit. It could be like the biggest song in the world. No matter what it is.
For a day.
Exactly, right? And who knows what that leads to. But then the privacy thing is like maybe the hardest thing because now you're almost expected to post, like you're expected to have social media and post.
Oh my God, yeah.
And like you're supposed to be accessible. And like, what do you mean you're not doing a fucking meet and greet? Like you don't like your fans? Like there's all kinds of shit like that where there's no way bands in the 90s dealt with that, you know?
Yeah. It's a weird, weird place where like, I think there's a level of like musicians, artists, like, these people are commodified in a way. And like, I think people like, you can look at it on a really large level and large scale and like, look at, you know, Frank Ocean, for example, playing Coachella. I think he had an amazing set and people were like really angry. And I think they wanted more from him, but I think people forget to just accept what they're given in a certain way from these people, from artists, and let that be and let that take on the life it's supposed to take on.
Oh, okay. What happened with Frank Ocean? When
he played Coachella, like I think people were upset because his set was not what they expected or maybe not what they wanted. And people were like kind of trashing him on the internet. And it was sad. It was sad because it was like, to me, I was like, wow, I thought it was great, you know? But,
well, yeah, that's just the thing. Everybody's got a voice now, right? Too
exactly
to say whatever. And I'd like to think that the world is becoming less toxic. And I'd like to, I mean, we can get into hardcore too. I think that hardcore is less toxic than it was.
Yeah,
but of course, there's always bad apples and you know pieces of shit people that like really fuck things up and can really you know can get under your skin.
Absolutely, I think it goes down to like the classic, like, well, there's bad people everywhere you go, like, which is unfortunate because there is like that safe haven feeling when you find your scene and you're like, wow, I really love this. I'm so passionate about it. And there is like, I feel like a moment, there was like a time for that with me and like hardcore and punk. And there was also moments where I was like, okay, like it's a little different than I like romanticized in my head, but that's okay. and you kind of have to find that like balance with your scene, I guess. And a part of it's like, you know, you surround yourself with the people that make you feel the best. You listen to the music that makes you feel the best. You know, you go to the shows that make you feel the most welcome. And that's how I like find my happiness in it, you know? And I think it's an incredible scene. I wouldn't want to like, you know, call home anywhere else pretty much.
Right.
But there's aspects to it where I have to look away and I have to preserve myself a little bit.
Absolutely. So growing up in Sacramento area, small town, you said, I read that you used to ride horses. So that paints a bit of a picture.
Oh my God.
How did you find punk rock and hardcore and all that and get into that? And you said you were driving a long distance to go to shows. How did you find all that out? Cause I also read that you didn't have a lot of friends that were really into it.
Yeah. So I don't know. I didn't really have a lot of friends growing up to begin with. I like couldn't figure it out. I just wasn't very good at it yet. It took me a minute. And so like, I was definitely like a horse girl, but like in the most like not, I just didn't have a lot of like money. So it wasn't like I was going and I could afford all this stuff. I was always like cleaning stalls to get riding lessons and things like that. It was just an extracurricular for me that, like, at least I had something to do.
Yeah.
So that was really special to me. And I got really, like, really close with it, if that makes sense. Like, I that was my thing. And so, but I was always really interested in, like, I want to say, like, alternative style or something, but I didn't know what that was called, if that makes sense. Like, I just was like, oh, punks look cool, but I didn't really know what punk was.
Right.
And, like, for me, like, in middle school, I started, you know, I found bands like My Chemical Romance and AFI and, like, Bring Me the Horizon and all that. So, like, I got really, like, I figured out what being a scene kid was and all that. And so, like, of course there was the phases to it. And I had, like, some people I would at school be like, oh, like, you look like me. You like this stuff too. But no one really, like, no one's tastes really overlapped as much as I wanted, if that makes sense. So I felt pretty, like, I was still on my own with it. But over the years, it just kind of, I went through, like, having different tastes, and, like, I got on Tumblr. That was a really big deal for me. I made a lot of like internet friends and discovered a lot of music through that. I grew up, like, half on the internet and half, like, playing outside, you know? So it was kind of a weird time. And then my teen years, it was like Warped Tour. That was the thing.
Yeah.
That was the cool shit. You know, that's what I identified with. And through that, I think, like, some modern hardcore started to cross my, like, path. And that was, like, a band like Knocked Loose was a huge deal to me in discovering hardcore. But I was also listening to Black Flag and the Dead Kennedys at the time. So I was kind of getting into the old school and the new school stuff at the same time. And that's when I found, like, Ceremony and Sabretooth Zombie. And, like, it just all kind of started. The puzzle pieces, like, really just formed, if that makes sense.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Well, yeah, that sounds like a lot of people's paths, you know, in different areas. Cause I'm a lot older than you, obviously, but there was also a phase where I was, like, listening, discovering the Dead Kennedys and Black Flag, you know, probably around the same age that you were. It's kind of interesting that those bands just continue to transcend,
absolutely,
you know, generations, even no matter how shitty their records sound, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of awesome. So
I think it's badass.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I was literally wearing a Black Flag shirt a minute ago and I just changed my
hell
shirt
because
I spilt freaking Italian dressing on it, but which, regardless. but what was the artist that you heard that kind of, I guess, switched from you being, you know, a fan of bands to, like, hey, maybe I kind of want to do this. Like, maybe I want to get on stage and or start a band or whatever. What there must have been something that clicked.
That's such a good question. I feel like I remember when I first started really getting, like, going to concerts and I was seeing bands, like, metalcore bands, right? Like, I loved the Amity Affliction. I loved Bring Me the Horizon. Like, I loved all of that, but I didn't see a lot of women on stage. And, like, I just felt a little bit of a disconnect. I was like, damn, like, I really want to do this, but it seems like guys are the only ones who are allowed to scream, you know? Like, I didn't see girls doing it that much. It just wasn't in front of my face. And I remember, I really liked that band. I love that band, Paris. I think they're amazing. Yeah. But I was just like, I don't know if I can sing like that. Like, I want to get on stage and scream. Like, I just didn't really, and I didn't have, like, the friends. Like, I just didn't have any direction. And so, like, slowly but surely, I started getting into, like, punk. Like I said, like, it took me going through, like, the Amity Affliction, the story so far, to get to, like, the Dead Kennedys. So it was a little reverse for me, but, so I was getting into, like 80s, you know, hardcore, while also discovering, like, local bands, like Drain was one. I couldn't get enough of their EP, Time Enough to Last, Satil.
What a band.
One. Yeah. It's still, like, my favorite, one of my favorite hardcore releases ever. Them and a band called Jawstruck from Santa Cruz. And Jawstruck is a cool band because their singer, her name's Chelsea. It's a woman, and, like, Wow, I sound so ridiculous. I'm hearing myself talk. Sorry.
No.
I'm just like, oh, yeah, she's amazing. She's really badass. She has an amazing voice. And I was just like, wow, like, okay, these are people like me. They just go and do this. Like, there's nothing stopping them. Like, maybe I could give this a shot. Like, yeah. And I kind of started just like, I got a bass from a friend and I just was like, I want to play bass in a band. And I saw this band called No Right play a show at Gilman, and they're from the Bay. They're really cool. Another band with like a woman singing, and you know, I saw Year of the Knife, like Maddie played bass at the time. It was just,
oh yeah,
it was really cool because I was starting to realize like, oh my God, like it's not weird if I participate in this.
Right.
And then in my head, I was like, okay, well that's cool, but I still don't know anyone. Like I still don't really have any friends who are musicians. Like I don't know what I'm doing. Like, of course that wasn't like the master plan. I just wanted to at least make friends and like start at least drawing and painting more. Cause that was something I was a lot more into. Of course, like I wasn't playing music. So, I was at least like, I want to go move somewhere, make friends, like get to know people, join a scene, like, you know, have something like to identify with, and also just like work on my art. And we'll just see what happens.
Awesome.
And so that kind of was the plan, I guess, if there was one. And I met Malachi, who plays guitar in Scowl, and he's my boyfriend now, but we started seeing each other and I moved to Santa Cruz. And a year later, he finally was like, so you want to start a band, right? And I was like, yeah, of course I want to start a band, but I'm terrified. And he was like, okay, well, I need to know like if you can sing. And I was like, well, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. And he put on Set It Off by Madball and he was like, no, you're going to sing this. And he just like kept replaying it in the car until I was singing along, like screaming. And he was like, okay, cool. Now I know. And I was like, what the fuck? Like psychological bullshit. Like what the fuck? But yeah, it was cool. He's someone who's very passionate and driven and kind of was like, no, I see you want to do this. We're going to commit to this. And that's something that means a lot to me. So
wow.
That's kind of how that started.
Wow. Well, I mean, I think everybody needs a little push, you know,
absolutely,
especially you know, with you having no experience, yeah. This like, you know, this is your first band, right? It's your first foray. You don't know. And I don't know about Malachi and what his, you know, previous history is with it either. But you know, it is like, you need that sometimes. And that's the thing. Like that's why I think bands can have all the talent in the world, you know, like for every Patrick Stump, there needs to be a Pete Wentz, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
There
needs
to be somebody driving that ship and recognizing like, you know, the talent and being able to like make that happen.
Yeah. There's,
and that's important.
Yeah. Someone's got to push me off the cliff, you know? Like I've always been a bit of a hesitant, like shy human being. And I feel like that was one of those moments. And I look back on it, it's kind of like a core moment now for me where I'm like, wow, that was one of the first times I actually like jumped. And like now I can jump and land on my feet a lot more. It took me a minute though. It took me a long time of being really afraid to learn how to do it.
So cool. I love this conversation. This is
Thank you.
It's so interesting though that like all this has happened and so quickly.
Yeah.
And I have so many questions like.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, here's my question.
Yeah.
It's exciting to play Coachella.
Absolutely.
And Reading and Leeds in these massive mainstream festivals. But also, you're about to play with Circle Jerks and Negative Approach. Now, which show are you more excited for? And which shows are you more nervous about playing?
I am really excited about the Circle Jerks dates because Negative Approach and Circle Jerks are like, you know, those are heroes for us. So like, that's a big deal. It means a lot. It's really special to me. And we've played a couple shows with the Circle Jerks before, and they were just like the craziest shows. Like the reaction was just so good. The crowds treated us so well. And so I'm really excited to just go and be treated well and like have that kind of like, I don't want to be overconfident, of course, by any means, but there's a level of excitement to know like, oh, like we're playing to a crowd of punks. Like they're not going to be shocked by what they're about to see.
Right.
Going on stage at Coachella is kind of like,
right.
Are these people interested at all in what they're going to see? I don't know. Like, let's hope we win them over. But opening, you know, a Circle Jerks gig, it's like, no, these are punks. Like, they're going to know what's up. They're going to mosh. Like, it's going to be fun.
Right.
There's pressure in certain gigs. And that's something, like, when you play in a band, like, you figure that out, of course. But I feel like it takes a second. Maybe, like, when I first started playing shows with Scowl, like, our first year as a band, pretty much it was always everything made me nervous and it was always, you know, shows in different scenes, and a lot of these people were my friends and my peers and I wanted to impress them, and that was really scary. But now it's very different. There is a level of like, oh, this is a big show, this is important, like there's important people here, things like that. Like the pressure is on.
Yeah.
And it's a much, much different fear, because it's a lot more of like a stepping off the cliff and knowing like, and having faith that you're going to land on your feet and like, you're going to perform like you have the whole time, you know, like, you know, you can, but you're taking a leap of faith. It's a much different feeling and a much different pressure. And that's something I could have never prepared myself for, because I didn't ever expect it. I didn't expect to not only just be playing shows for my friends, you know?
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh shit. How did we do that? Like, what's going on? But there's also a sense of like euphoria and being like, okay, I'm on stage right now. I'm doing something that's like a big deal for me right now and a big deal for my life. You know, putting it in perspective, like that can be a lot of pressure for most people. But for me, it's like, oh no, this is a milestone. Like, I need to be in the moment and enjoying this. Like, I got this. It's relaxing almost to be like, oh, this is a milestone. But sometimes I get the most nervous for the shows that just still, I know all my peers are there.
Yeah.
We played,
I know.
we played Philadelphia first night of the Show Me the Body tour that we did earlier this year. And I don't think I've been more nervous for a show this whole year. It was like, Philly's a big deal. That has their scene is so cool. And there's a lot of really talented, really cool people coming to these shows that like, I respect a lot. You know, it's not Coachella, but who gives a fuck? Like, those people mean a lot to me.
I know.
So like, I was nervous.
That's funny you mentioned that, Philadelphia specifically, because mm-hmm. There was one show we played at the Electric Factory and
yeah.
You know, big show.
Yeah.
And it was like, it felt like pretty much every other show. It's just a big show, lots of people. But then I saw Dan from Lifetime and Kid Dynamite was there.
Oh my gosh.
And all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, I'm more nervous than I've ever been, you know, just because one dude that I like highly respect is there,
yep.
You know? And it's like the same as like, I always get like that too in front of like family.
Yes.
Like I can play a show
my gosh.
To, you know, Coachella level show. Oh, it's just whatever. But then if my mom's there, I'm like, yep. Oh, I got, you know, I gotta like be careful yep. what I say. And I just like,
yep.
you know, my dad's watching and I know he's like, listening if I'm hitting the notes, yeah, yep. like that. It's like, okay,
absolutely.
It's amazing how that can affect you, because being a singer or any musician, really, it's just so personal, you know.
Absolutely.
And it can really get in your head.
It's really vulnerable. It's one of those things where it's like, when you're playing in front of a bunch of strangers, it's almost easier because you don't feel that pressure of them knowing you and knowing your story and
yeah.
maybe the fear of judgments from them. You don't know them. Who cares if they like you or not? But playing in front of your mom and dad, your close friends, your friends from growing up, like, you know, you want them to like it. You want them to appreciate it. And you hope they don't leave like, Jesus Christ, like another one of Kat's shows. Like, oh my goodness. Like I totally get scared. Even like with my sister, who's pretty much like my best friend since I can remember. And like, you know, she was never into punk or hardcore or anything. Like that was not her thing. I successfully got her into the story so far when I was a teenager. And that was like the one thing we had in common. but really, like, it was terrifying to be like, hey, Sophie, I started a band. Like, I know you're not going to like it, but, and you know, I, of course, when the first time I showed her, Seeds to Sow, which is the first track that I like actually sang on instead of screaming, mm-hmm. she cried. She was like, no Aww. Way. Like, she was so stoked because she could, you know, maybe understand or relate to that style a little bit more. But it was a really special moment. And I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot of pressure there.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, let's talk about, you know, singing and the music here. You know, obviously this new EP has come out and made some really big waves. It's been out for a few months.
Yeah.
Psychic Dance Routine. And, you know, I found it was really an interesting EP because it's a really interesting blend of, you know, hardcore punk with a lot of almost like 90s alternative influences.
Yes.
And it's very separated, you know, kind of between songs.
Yeah.
Too. And I kind of wonder how that happens, you know, like, you know, you obviously you're branching out and you're trying some different things and you're expressing yourself. But like, you know, the title track on this EP is like way different and never goes to, there's never a point where it's like, okay, you're going to punk it out now or whatever. It's going to be a fast part.
No, it's.
And I found that really, really interesting. And I kind of wondered what that feels like, both, you know, what your feedback from the fans is, mm-hmm. how you're bringing in maybe other people that are hearing that song and they're hearing the rest of it and going, oh.
Yeah.
And then also just live, how that's like kind of a different vibe too when you have these moments where it's like, okay, for 3 minutes, we're going to sound like a 90s grunge band, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of levels to it. You know, at the beginning, like, we just knew we wanted to incorporate more of me singing. I wanted to do it. Everyone was into it. It was, mm-hmm. you know, that's what we wanted to do. It was the plan, you know? And that was without a doubt, like a thing, but we didn't really know how to go about it because we wanted it to both be original to who we are as musicians and what we wanted, you know, the message we want to send with our music and my lyrics and you know, the artistic side, but we still don't want to like, we want to not alienate the people who love us, not alienate ourselves because we love hardcore. And like, I mean, everyone in the band all agrees like hardcore and, you know, punk, like that's a bit of like a life ethos, like a lifestyle, a mindset more than it is just music at this point.
Sure.
So that is something that like, I feel we all resonates with us and we all like feel the ability to just like branch out however we want musically and we don't feel like we're breaking any rules. You know, like we get to make our rules. It's our band, our music, our art. And like, yeah, like we get to kind of do what we want with that as long as we're happy with it and we feel like we're doing something genuine. But it is important to us to not alienate, you know, the people who have helped us, you know, find a home, you know, and helped us get to doing stuff like opening for Circle Jerks and playing Coachella. Like, you know, there's a lot of balance there. Never been in a band before. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So there's a lot of learning.
Yeah.
but that being said, yeah, going musically into it all, like that was kind of the plan. We wanted to balance it out and kind of almost give everyone like a charcuterie board almost of like, okay, this is where we're at. This is where we're at musically. We got like a lot of punk aspects still, you know, I want to sing.
Yeah.
I want to send a message still. Like, obviously this isn't just like, oh, we're going to try this out. We're going to try this new thing. No, we're going to do what we know how to do, but we want to also experiment a little. And we all listen to so much different kind of music. It's not just hardcore and not just 90s. Like, we want to be able to, you know, express ourselves as growing musicians. So that's a really large part of it. It's, I guess it's not as deep in certain ways as others. There's a level of vulnerability to singing that
totally
I find almost more comforting sometimes. I love screaming. I love it, you know. It feels cool. It feels like it's such an expression that's really like you're releasing something, you know, you're
right.
When you get to do that, it's like, God, like when I used to scan groceries and get off work and then go to practice for 2 hours and scream my head off for 2 hours, it was the best feeling ever. So totally. Like being able to go on tour and do that every night, it's very special.
That's amazing.
But also, yeah, but also singing, it's like, whoa, this is a whole new frontier.
Right.
And I'm still learning a lot and I really enjoy it. And it feels like I can talk about so much more than just when I have lyrics to scream to, if that makes sense.
I do kind of know what you mean, right? Because like there's a screaming and that makes one of us here that likes screaming because I'm not a fan. Yeah. I fucking hate doing it. Gives me headaches, makes me lose my voice. Like, oh God. But I do know what you mean because like screaming, it's inherently aggressive, right?
Yeah.
And it's harsh and like you can't, I mean, you can scream any words you want to scream. Don't get me
wrong. Absolutely.
But it also feels a little bit different when it's like a high energy, fast song.
Yep.
There's a lot of a different vibe there than the lyrics that you might write when it's psychic dance routine. Do you know what
Absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely.
And that obviously as an artist growing, expanding,
yeah,
that's a big part of it is like not just how you're performing it, but also what you're saying.
Yeah. And I don't want people to forget that the way that you say the things you're saying, there's a lot of intention behind that.
Yeah.
There's like so much intention behind that. It's so much deeper than just being like, oh yeah, I just did this. Like the way that I say my lyrics, and I think a lot of, you know, vocalists can relate to this, the way you write your lyrics, not just the lyrics themselves and the way that you deliver them, it there's intention behind it. And there's a lot that changes the meaning there. So I think that's a large part of it too. And to me, that's like, that's the moment where I'm like, okay, I think I am a musician. Like I can do this. I'm a musician. Okay. Like, and I want to be able to get on stage and I'm glad that I am having the opportunity to get on stage and, you know, sing a song like Psychic Dance Routine and kind of incorporate those peaks and valleys to the set and feel like, okay, like, you know, sometimes it works really well. And sometimes the crowd's like really, really hyped about it. And then sometimes they do look at us like, what's going on?
Right.
But usually by the end of the song, everyone's kind of headbanging. It's cool. It's a really cool moment. And it's like, everyone's kind of growing with us in that way. Cause we're still like, you know, we're still playing those songs for the first time, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you got to break up the set a little bit too, right?
Yeah.
Like, you
know,
it's like if every song's fast, no songs are fast.
Yeah.
You know, there's like, there's also that element, but I mean, you know, I think also, hardcore in general has maybe become a lot more open-minded in the last couple of years. And I think that maybe Turnstile is a big part of that. I mean, obviously they turned so many heads and brought so many new people into the fold with Glow On. And like, it was almost like, oh, hardcore has like had rules. Well, fuck the rules.
Yeah.
We're going to do this. And it's really, I think, amazing for the genre because now people can do things that are maybe a lot more creative when they'd be looked at before as like either just weird, not cool, or like, oh, you're trying to garner some kind of mainstream success. Like, fuck you.
Yep.
You're not punk, you know?
Absolutely. I think it's really wonderful how like, how artistic and like how open to creativity things have become. Like, I'm really grateful for it because I feel like I would have been fucked a little bit too in certain ways. Like I am unfortunately like a total pretentious artistic type. Like that's just who I am. And like, if people weren't being more open to that kind of that expression, I feel like, okay, well, damn, you know, I'm still going to do me because that's what I've learned to do being a part of this all. That's part of it is like, you just do what makes you happy and do what's right for you without, you know, apologies or explanation. And I'm grateful that people are, you know, experiencing that same mindset, I guess. Like it's not as closed-minded. And there was a time, you know, 10, 15 years ago where like if a band did any like put out a Psychic Dance Routine or put out a Glow On or you know, a lot of what bands are doing right now, like changing things up, being more creative and just changing kind of the rules, bending the rules. Like I feel like hardcore would have turned their back on them, you know, 10, 15 years ago versus now.
Yeah, for sure.
It's definitely a lot more embraced now, which I think is I'm really grateful for it.
No, totally. You know? Totally. I mean, you brought up ceremony earlier. Like that was a
ceremony.
Radically changed. And like,
dude,
a lot of people embraced it. A lot of people didn't, you know, for sure with that band. That's,
it was a
and
lot.
That's just the truth.
Yeah. It's, and it's hard, man. It's scary, but I'm still going to do whatever I want to do. It's not about, you know, I don't know. Like, how do you say like, I'm gonna do me no matter what.
That's
like,
all you got to say.
You know, like that's just how it is. And
well, that's amazing. So, you know, you talked about singing and how that's a relatively new thing for you. And it's a whole, you know, I read that you did all your vocals for Psychic Dance Routine for the entire EP in all in one day.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot to do in one day, especially when
it was
like
a little hard.
Yeah, that's a lot. Not only just for vocal, like getting the right takes and the right sounds and figuring out the parts, but also just, I mean, you're screaming your head off. I mean, did you do the clean vocals first?
I think so. I can't, honestly, I can't remember very well, but probably that was a tough day, but it was made so much easier because I was working with Will Yip and he was just so cool about everything and so encouraging. And like, it was such a dream. It was really special. And working with him was a like total dream come true. Cause I really admire his work. I admire like the bands he's worked with. So yeah, I had a little bit of nerves going into it too. I was like, oh man, like I hope like I do good, you know? And
yeah,
recording, I don't know. Recording is probably, in my opinion, one of the hardest parts of like playing in a band or playing music. Cause it's like, that's really the moment where you're like, okay, can I perform right now? You know?
Right.
And so I put a little bit of pressure on myself for sure, but it went really well and it was awesome. And I like, I'm just really excited to go record again now, which is cool.
Totally. Well, before you do that, I assume you've got a lot of shows coming up.
Yes.
You guys are, it's kind of nuts.
Yeah.
You've already done so much this year and you've got so much more coming, including what I'm looking at is your headline tour, US headline tour. That is like almost 2 months long.
Yeah.
Starting in September. I just looked at that schedule and went, oh fuck. Like that is a lot of shows. Like that is straight up like 7 or 8 weeks of shows.
Yeah. I'm like mentally preparing myself for sure. This year's been very nonstop. I would say probably the last year and a half now we're looking at has been pretty persistent, and it's really good because we want to get that road work done pretty much. We want to get out there and I feel like doing it the old school way is like the best way, but I'm also trying really hard to focus on making sure my mental health and my physical health like stays up to par.
Yeah.
And that I'm, you know, prioritizing myself enough. There was like a series of months last year where we were touring and I was getting sick a lot, and that was pretty hard on me mentally, but I think I learned from that. And now we're going into this like, okay, we're going to like pretty much kick these tours in the ass. Like we're going to have a great time. Everyone's going to do great. And then we're going to come home and we're going to write some fucking music. Like that's kind of the plan. And
yeah,
everyone's
and rinse,
excited.
Rinse, repeat. Right. I mean, that's like, and that's amazing. I mean, I'm just congratulations on all the
Thank
success
you.
And that, you know, this has been such a great outlet for you personally.
Yeah,
this just seems like it's great to talk to you because it's really, really refreshing just to hear, first of all, just your whole story, because, you know, it really is like what I think so many people that listen to this that aren't in bands that maybe want to be are like, that's great. Like you took the plunge, like you moved to a place where you could feel more like yourself and more in tune with other people. And then you met people and you started a band and you gave it your all despite your... you know, your, what's the word? I don't know.
Like fears or
fears,
whatever.
Yeah, fears. And then it's here we are. It's just, it's such a beautiful story and an inspiring one. And I hope that,
thank you.
You know, I want you to continue this story.
Yeah.
And I hope that the next time we run into each other at a festival or talk again on this podcast, it's just even, you know, you're even more healthy and happy and successful.
Thank you.
So
yeah, I appreciate that. That's so special. I really appreciate hearing that. It's definitely been a process, like a lot of getting thrown in the deep end and just kind of like learning to swim very fast. And it's really cool and awesome, but I also don't want to sit here and being like, yeah, it's so hard to play in a band. All my dreams are coming true. Like it's like, no, like I'm really happy and I'm really grateful, but there are, it's not always like rainbows and
no, of course.
Butterflies. Like it's definitely, not.
No,
it's challenging work at times. And so I'm like making sure to just stay on earth and like, you know, balance myself, balance my ego, balance my health, like prioritize the people and the things that make me happiest and, you know, just get the fuck out there. Cause I don't know, you know, I don't know when one day I might get sick of it and be like, okay, I just want to chill. I want to go quiet. You know, like I don't know that. And I just want to like enjoy this now.
Hell yeah.
And not like look back and regret anything, you know, not regret, not taking the plunge. So
awesome. That's amazing. So is Fred Durst as cool as everybody says he is?
Yeah, he's so nice.
he's the absolute best.
He's very, very sweet, very like awesome person, like not a rock star by any means.
That's so cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a friend, you should do his show too. His name's Sean Smith.
Oh, fuck yeah. Okay.
He does a podcast over in the UK. He used to be in this band called The Blackout.
Oh shit. Okay.
It's called the, Sapinen podcast is called.
Oh shit. Okay.
So he like grew up and Limp Bizkit was like his favorite band ever.
Oh my God.
And he, of course, like we all do, we graduate to different music and he was in this kind of like screamo band for a while in the UK and they got a chance to open up some shows in Europe with Limp Bizkit. So they're super excited to do it.
That's so cool.
So they're there. Limp Bizkit is sound checking and Sean goes up on the stage, like kind of watching, and Fred is like kind of sees him and I don't know, waves or whatever, apparently nicest guy in the world.
Yes.
And comes over and Sean says to him, oh, hey, are you guys playing this song? Cause I've never heard you play it live. And it's like one of my favorite songs. And
that's so
and
cool.
Fred's like, oh no, you know what? We've actually never played that song live, but you know what? Let's do it. Let's do it tonight.
No fucking way.
And he's like, what? He's like, no, I think we should do it. I think we should do it tonight. And you should come on stage and do it with us.
That's so
and
sick.
And that fucking happened.
That's so crazy.
Like they figured the song out in the sound check and then they did it that night. And I'm just like, big bands don't do shit like that.
No, yeah.
It's just like so cool. I heard that story and I was like, that is amazing. So yes, you should do Sean's podcast and talk to him about Fred.
That'd be so fucking cool. Yeah. Yeah, he's a cool dude. He's very supportive. It's awesome.
That's amazing. Well, that's so great. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk to me and telling everybody your story. Is there anything else to tell the people before I let you go?
My God. I never know what to say on the spot. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, the EP is out. Of course. Well, the EP is out now. Psychic Dance Routine.
Yes.
Go get it.
Thank
it's available
you.
On vinyl as well. You guys are playing Europe real soon.
Yes.
A few shows later this month with Circle Jerks and Negative Approach.
Yes.
And a headline tour of the US, which tickets are on sale right now, right?
Yep.
I'm doing your work for you.
Thank you. Sorry.
Anything else to tell the people?
I'm totally, utterly useless. Sorry, guys. yeah. Thank you so much. Clearly extremely busy and we're just excited to get out there and like say hello to everyone, get see some new faces, some old faces, and it'll be a really good time. Thank you so much.
Beautiful. Amazing. Yes. Get some Scal tickets, go see them headlining. It's going to be amazing. And thank you, Kat, so much. I'm going to play a couple songs for the people. I think I'm going to play Shot Down right into Psychic Dance Routine so people can kind of get the feel for what's up these days.
Get the vibe.
With Scowl.
Perfect.
Get the vibe. I love it. Here it is on Lead Singer Syndrome. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
So there is new music from Scowl, Shot Down, and Psychic Dance Routine. You gotta love it. Just a band with so much energy, and everything is so cool. Their artwork is cool. The vibe is awesome. Just everything they're doing is so rad. And this is one of the most exciting bands, not just in hardcore, just in music right now. I love everything about it. So make sure you're getting on the Scowl train. Go get your tickets for their tour. Get your records. Just do it all, okay? Do the whole thing up. And I want to thank Kat again so much for taking the time to speak with me. Well, that concludes the podcast. Thank you for listening. Please, whatever you're listening to this on, if it's, you know, Spotify, there's a follow button, or Apple, there is a subscribe button, I think. There is a button somewhere, a like button or something. Just click that button, because that helps me out with algorithms and all kinds of bullshit I don't understand. And thanks. Tell a friend, tell a loved one. Let's keep spreading the word and go back and listen to all the other episodes that I've done over the years. In all different styles of music. Tons of hardcore bands I've talked to as well. So go back and check it out. And thanks again for being here. Take care of yourself. Peace and love.